This is KAYT-FM. 881 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana. Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
But his impact is goes.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. I hope you guys have enjoyed the first hour. We're talking a little Louisiana politics, national politics. Want to inform you guys, get you prepared for the upcoming election season, because guess what? It is that you have to get out and vote, become a part of your local and your national politics. Understand the world that is around you. Make changes to the world that's around you. If you are not happy with what the future look like for your kids, what it's going to look like for you. So just want to make sure that you guys thank Senator Cleo Fields for stopping in today and just having this conversation. Listen, I'm not steering you in any direction. Go wherever you want to go when it comes to voting. That is your constitutional right. I just want to make sure that you are aware of what you are voting for and what to vote for and what you feel is best for your community. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. However you vote, that's you. I'm not going to fight you, because everybody has their right to go wherever direction that you want to go. Just be a part of it and do your part and get out and vote. All right, as we keep things going this morning, got a very special guest here on the Jaguar Journal. We're going to talk some Louisiana FCS football, because guess what? Not only is Southern part of the FCS landscape in Louisiana, but Louisiana has many other schools, right? And three of those other FCS schools will fall on Southern schedule this year, and we're going to talk about them. So we want to welcome to the Jaguar Journal my boy Blue, Zach McKinnell. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, man. I am glad to be on here. You know, I'm always going to make time for you, man.
I appreciate you, and good morning to everybody that's listening out there on the radio waves, Talk 107.3, right here in the capital city, Baton Rouge area, as well as over in Alexandria, New Orleans. And everybody watching us live on our YouTube and Facebook, good to have you guys with us. Got Zach, now, you know, my boy Scotty called you Blue. What you want me to call you this morning? What name would you like?
Man, hey, I'm used to Blue, man. So you can call me Blue.
All right, Blue. You're my boy, Blue. All right, Blue, let's jump right into it, right? Southern University, more in particular, the reason why we're going to go down this route. Louisiana has a plethora of FCS schools, Northwestern State, Grambling, Southeastern, Nichols, McNeese, Southern, right? The bedding of the SWAC and the Southland Conference background right here in the state of Louisiana. Southern University, because we're right here, is going to have three of those programs, Grambling, McNeese, as well as Nichols. Grambling is going to be down in New Orleans at the Bayou Classic. McNeese is going to be over in Lake Charles. And Nichols will be coming to Baton Rouge. So let's start at the top of the list, Zach, because you are our FCS aficionado, right? You know about this level more than a lot of people, probably anybody else I know, because you don't just study the HBCU, the SWAC, and the MEAC. You are all around from East Coast to West Coast to North to South in terms of this landscape. Let's start with McNeese. And as we scout McNeese for our fans that is listening, what is McNeese looking like this year offensively and defensively?
I think McNeese is probably one of the more interesting teams in the entire country. You look at a team last year, won one game, and I think it might have been the forfeit game against Northwestern State as well. So, I mean, they were just bad last year, man. Defensively, even though they have All-American linebacker Micah Davey coming back, they were just bad defensively, and they had to reload. Perry, they brought in 57 transfers, 20 from the FBS, which I believe is like number one or number two in the entire country in terms of FBS transfers. And they also added some new faces to the coaching staff. They brought in Josh Brown as the co-defensive coordinator from UTEP, brought in a new wide receivers coach from South Alabama. And I think the big thing with McNeese is it's going to be a test. Because, Terry, I know, you know, me, you, Scotty, everyone in this space talks about it. It's still kind of a wait-and-see approach on, at the FCS level, can you hit the portal and bring in a bunch of guys and have them gel immediately and have a lot of year one success? Because I think when you look at the quarterback position, it's definitely an upgrade. You go and get a guy in Clifton McDowell, who had an interesting offseason, transferred from Montana after leading them to the national championship game, went to Temple, left there, reportedly committed to PV, and then the night that his commitment leaked for PV, he winds up committing to McNeese. He's going to be a massive upgrade. And you look at what they brought in at running back. I think
let me break this. Southern did offer this kid. At one time, he was committed to come to Southern, coming from UCA, before he ended up at Montana. So this is a guy that was on Southern's recruiting radar over now at McNeese, is going to be their starting quarterback, and was a leader of his team in the FCS National Championship last year. So I just want to make sure that for our listeners, this is a guy who is familiar with this program.
Yeah, very. I mean, I think that was interesting because I kind of forgot that he did commit to Southern, ended up switching his commitment to Montana. And then also, too, you got to remember, he was at the JUCO ranks, too. So this is a kid that's played at, like, 8 different schools over the past 3 or 4 years. But then in running back, you bring in a former 4-star kid, Trevante Citizen out of Miami, who had level. They returned 3 really good backs that they have from last year. So I think the strength is going to be in the rushing attack. It's just they brought in so many transfers. But defensively, I'll say this, they returned 9 starters, but I would imagine – that they're probably only going to start about 3 or 4 guys from last year's defense. Because, Perry, as much as returning talent is important, and, you know, we look at returning starters, returning production, is it good to return a lot of starters from a bad defense? I think it's debatable because I think they upgraded in a lot of key positions. They bring in a guy, Tristan Driggers from ULM, who was a guy who played at ULM, went to the JUCO level, had a big-time year. They're going to play him at linebacker, but he played safety at JUCO, so he has the athleticism to do a lot of different things. They add Marquez White out of Dartmouth, who was a 2-time all-conference selection at Dartmouth, coming off an injury, was limited to 4 games last year. And then they added a whole bunch of FBS guys along the defensive line, which was a massive, I would say, area that they needed to improve on. But that defense starts and ends with a guy named Micah Davey. And, Terry, I can't wait for you to see this kid live. I think he's arguably the most athletic linebacker at the FCS level. I mean, last year as a true sophomore, he had 153 total tackles in like 10 games, which is unheard of. And he had 20 or more tackles in 2 straight games last year as well. He was a freshman All-American 2 years ago, was an FCS All-American last year. He's got a chance to 3-peat this year. So I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how McNeese retools that defense. If their defense can take a step forward, I do think they have the offensive talent to be a lot better than they were last year.
Yeah, McNeese, and we all know, has been a perennial power. Not as of today, but as of late, was a perennial power on the FCS level. Only one SWAC school has been able to defeat them, and that was Alcorn State under Fred McNair. They have had plenty of success against the SWAC. McNeese has always traditionally seemed to be a very tough out. It is a program that will bring it to you, as they say. And, you know, I'll be curious to see, can Southern get over the hump? Southern was close last time they went to Lake Charles. McNeese came here, a game in which Southern had in the first half but gave it away in the second half. And now you look at both programs. McNeese has changed coaches over the years. Where does this thing go now from here? I'd be interested. Mike, are we good with the sound? Do we need to take a break and try to get things together? Well, let's do this. Let's take a break and let's try to get things so because we're going to keep dealing with the feedback. So, hey, y'all stay tuned. We'll be back. Let's try to fix this, the feedback, and we'll be back more to Jaguar Journal. Perish.
It's On The Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White, and what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
Talk about offense, we talk about Southern, and it begins with a passing game.
Tom, beyond potent, we're talking about high octane, we're talking about fast break, we're talking about 41 points a game, some 500-plus yards since Terrence Levy has taken over this offense.
Because that young man doesn't drop anybody.
With the legacy that you started here, happy to see it continue on with Doug Williams.
Ball now back at the 22-yard line. Levy, no pressure at all. Touchdown, Abrams. The Bayou Classic. Levy on a first and goal. Throws a touchdown. Grambling. comes with a blitz. Levy steps in the pocket. And his pass is caught. One-handed grab.
Sula in the middle of the road with a slap, but immediately they jump on the Jackson State defense. And here's Levy rolling out. And the pass is caught. Ball is at the 31-yard line. Again, throwing the football downfield. Oh, and his receiver, Hayes, makes the catch. See you later. Touchdown, Southern. This is going to get.
I got some free tickets. Look out for a brother.
Going downfield. Oh, what a play by Southern.
Forward. He's played a lot tougher ever since. But it's a free play for Southern.
Second and 15.
It's a free play.
Levy completes his
pass. It's a free play.
He's still up.
It's a free play.
Hayes. Hayes is going to continue running inside the 10, the 5. Unbelievable, Michael Hayes.
Third down.
And 23 for a first. Levy over the middle. Nice pass that time. Second and 20. Levy doesn't have to get it all, but he's going to have to pick up some yards. Here he is throwing. Nice catch made. The receiver, Michael Hayes. There he goes. Hayes makes the catch. Hayes still on his feet. Hayes looking for blocking. Hayes trying to find a hole. Hayes is still on his feet. He has the hoops. He's inside the 15 and drawn out a foul.
Touchdown. The backfield. Break the spirit of Terrence Levy or not. Here he wings one wide open down the middle with a one-handed grab made.
In the way. Third down and 4. And here's Lewis off the catch. Lewis still on his feet. And Lewis is streaking down the sideline. Touchdown. So they move back 5 yards. Levy on third down. Looking down the sideline.
Guys stepping up like they're going to blitz, he really is going to start thinking.
Levy pump and go. Levy finds his receiver, Devin Lewis.
Good experience on receiver. Good experience for Lewis.
How great is it to have a quarterback play?
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the...
All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening around the Capital City area on 107.3. Good to have you guys with us. Our affiliates up in Alexandria, Louisiana. Everybody listening and watching all across the world on our YouTube Live, as well as Facebook. Good to have you guys with us. I am Perry White. We got my boy Blue Zach on the line. Still, we're talking FCS football. We just got done talking about McNeese as we scout. Zach, let's look at Nicholls State, a perennial power over in the Southland Conference. They have had some success, and a lot of their success come from the recruiting landscape that they have. They recruit the river parishes and down in New Orleans, and they have found success developing guys and building a program that has become a real power in the Southland, and they are on Southern schedule. Let's look at this program, and let's talk about them a little bit.
Man, I think this team has a chance to be really, really special again, Terry. I mean, they returned 18 starters from a team that went undefeated in conference play last year, went to the FCS playoffs, and it really starts with two things. I think their rushing attack, where you've got guys like Kyle Guggenheim coming back, you've got Jalen Spears, an FCS All-American All-Purpose selection coming back. And when I look at both of those guys, they combined for over 1,500 rushing yards. Jalen Spears is the second leading receiver, averaging like 16 yards per catch, and can do it on special teams. And they have an offensive line that returns like 4 or 5 starters, man. And I don't think people talk about that enough. Is, man, offensive line with the chemistry and everything, that's huge. You got a guy in Evan Roussel at center who I think he started like 40, 50 career games. and SPS All-American, three- or four-time all, you know, Southland selection. I think this team could be really good. And the other thing was their defense was really, really good last year. They ranked second in the Southland last year in total defense. They led the Southland in rushing defense. And they ranked eighth in the country last year in turnovers, led by Tyler Morton at safety. SDS All-American had four of the 16 interceptions that secondary had. They are really a hit-or-miss type of defense. Well, they'll allow some yards, but they'll also create some big plays in terms of turnovers, big you know, plays for loss, things like that. I think that head coach Tim Rebo, man, has probably his most experienced team that he's had in a long time.
Yeah, you look at this program, they may be, by the time Southern takes them on in A.W. Mumford Stadium, may be a ranked opponent by that point in the scale. What are they ranked currently in the FCS preseason poll?
So they were ranked in mine. My ballot, I had them at 25. I want to say that they were just outside the top. No, they're ranked 23rd in the FCS Stats Performance Poll. So they were 23rd. They were 25th in my poll. I think there's a lot of people that are pretty high on Nichols this year.
Yeah, when you look at them and just the consistency of a program that they have been, I love the way that they recruit in the area that they recruit out of. They are a Louisiana team when you start to look at that roster. So when you look at Magnese and you look at Nichols, both Southland Conference teams are going to be tough opponents for Southern University. But this is the type of scheduling I like. Blue, when you schedule the teams, and guess what? These are the same teams that you're recruiting against these days. These are the teams you have to go out and beat them. And when you look at being in a state that shares two conferences, the SWAC and the Southland, you have to go out and get those victories over those Southland teams if you are the SWAC. Now let's jump over to the SWAC and let's talk about the third FCS team that's going to be on Southern University's schedule. And it's going to be the last game of the regular season. It's going to be down in the Bayou Classic. It's going to be Grambling State, right? Coach Mickey Joseph comes in, takes over that program. You look at offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, right? Two former Southern head coaches. You got Eric Dooley, who was dismissed last year as Southern University's head football coach. I think we all saw how that went. And then you got Jason Rollins taking over the defensive side for you. When you look at that program, what do you see with first-year head coach Mickey Joseph coming in and trying to turn things around?
I see a lot of question marks, Barry. You look at all the talent they lost last year, especially along the offensive line and at the running back position. I think what you have four or five guys who are now playing at either Power Five or top G5 schools for those positions, and you lose Lyndon Rash to graduation as well. I think wide receiver is going to be pretty deep for them. They got three or four returners that played significant roles last year that I think could take a step forward in Mickey Joseph. I'm going to call it Mickey Joseph's offense for right now. And then also, too, we talk about returning quarterbacks being so important on who you project to win the conferences, win the division. I think Miles Crawley, was preseason SWAC Offensive Player of the Year. We can have a debate whether he's the best quarterback in the SWAC, but he's definitely the most experienced quarterback coming back, especially when you take into account last year. I think Miles had a really, really good year last year. There was a whole situation with the play calling midway through the season. When you look at all the games before you get to Alcorn, Tony Hull was developing Miles into I think he had a great chance to take home the SWAC Offensive Player of the Year. And Grambling was falling offensively. Then there was a change in play calling, and I think Miles' play suffered because of that. The one question I have offensively for them is when I think in my head on how I would build a quarterback that fit Dooley's system, I don't know if it looks like Miles Crawley. And that's what I'm going to be interested in, is if Dooley can adjust this scheme, if Mickey Joseph can work with Dooley to find a scheme that is, I guess, tailored for Miles Crawley's skill set, because he's not a guy who's going to get out of the pocket and move with his feet, which is usually typically what Dooley wants in a quarterback. Now, defensively, I do think they have some solid guys coming back that played, okay roles, like a Kevin Thomas at safety, some guys at D-tackle like Jacoby Scott. But when I look at this Grambling team, man, they're going to have to do kind of the same thing I talked about with McNeese. You really got to hope some of these transfers hit. Now, I do think they landed some guys that played pretty significant roles on their team. I'll look at like a Chris Simmons for PV at wide receiver, Calvin Henderson at safety for Texas Southern. But one of the guys that two of the guys I would say that I'm really excited to see play in the SWAG. Markel Linzer from Southeastern Louisiana, a cornerback, has been a 2 or 3 year contributor for the Lions over there. And then also an all conference offensive lineman from Charleston Southern named Darius Meeks has played over 1,500 career snaps over at Charleston Southern, was an all conference guy, one of my favorite offensive linemen to watch. I think he has a chance to make a run at first team all SWAC next year.
Let me ask you this as we wrap up FCS talk and we get ready to close things out. The state of Louisiana, as I talked about, have all these FCS teams. In your opinion, who's the best FCS football program in the state of Louisiana?
Going into next year, it has to be Nichols. I think, you know, they're the defending Southland champs. They're the preseason favorite as well. Now, Southeastern Louisiana can make a run for it because that program has been really good under Selfo. They just took a massive step back last year. They had a lot of problems. So I wouldn't be surprised if they took a step back into relevancy. But if I had to put a bet on it right now, who's going to be the best team in Louisiana right now, it's Nichols, just because of the consistency, man. Like you said, I mean, they might have had one or two down years, but they've been consistently winning conference championships, consistently making appearances in the FCS playoffs. And I think they're probably the most experienced and well-balanced team in the state of Louisiana right now.
Let's look at the SWAC landscape, right? The SWAC preseason division, right? Alabama State picked over on the east. Alcorn picked over at the west. You look at Eddie Robinson Jr. taking over in his third year at Alabama State. You look over on this side, Cedric Thomas taking over finally at Alcorn State, formerly of UAPB. You look at those standings for you, and what I have to ask, fam, you took it over, won the Celebration Bowl, Black College National Championship last year. Coach Willie Simmons has since moved on to Duke to become a running backs coach. James Cozy has come in to take over this program. Just on the FCS aspect, do you think any one of these teams this year, especially with so many new coaches around the league, can crack into the FCS top 25 from the SWAC?
I think so. I mean, you look at the preseason poll, FAMU and Alabama State received votes in the SDS Stats Perform preseason poll. Now, Central, North Carolina Central, if you want to send to a MEAC, was also in there. I think they probably have the best shot out of the MEAC. But out of the SWAG, I think Jackson has a schedule set up to kind of make a run this year, Perry. I'm really, really high on Jackson State this year. I've been very vocal about that. I think anything under 9 wins for Jackson State this year is a disappointment with how their schedule sets up. And I think they have a very winnable game against UOM week 1. I think that's probably a top 3 chance for the FCS to knock off a FBS opponent. And if they win that game, they get Lane the next week. And then you got those two tough games against Southern and Grambling. But then you start rolling off Texas Southern, probably a win, Alabama A&M, but then Cookman, UAPB, Valley. I think they got a chance to win at least 9-10 games if everything worked out for them, at least 8 or 9. So I think Jackson could slide in there. Bama State, if they live up to the hype, maybe. But I think those are the two. I think Sam would probably have to get to 9 wins. And, you know, it's tough for them. Harry, here's why I don't think it's Sam. They got to play Troy, and they got to play, I think it's Miami, early in the season. There's going to be 2 losses on their resume super, super early. I don't know how much a win over South Carolina State or Norfolk is going to help them in the polls. So I think Sam's going to have a longer way to go after those 2 losses. So I think it would be Jackson or Bama State would have the best chance.
And, yeah, you're talking about the MEAC. North Carolina Central has gone out, and they have gotten victories against non-conference opponents. I think last year, when you look at Howard, you look at Morgan State, right, these are 2 teams. And in the MEAC, because you only have so few – conference games that typically start around that Halloween. I always say they start conference at Halloween, but they go out and they schedule tough non-conference FCS, and they play those lower-level group of 5, group of 4 FBS teams. But overall, when you look at them, they go out and they compete, right? I was impressed with Morgan State last year. I was impressed with Howard in their non-conference. And then North Carolina Central and what they're able to do to go out and get those victories and even add in North Carolina Central, all of those schools in South Carolina State, that conference as a whole, when you look at non-conference against FCS, non-HBCU programs, they go out and compete hard. And then let's factor in North Carolina A&T, Hampton, and Tennessee State. Tennessee State, another one who found a little success last year, but overall, you just look at the level of competition. I know the SWAC tries to stay within playing, added more SWAC games, especially that are non-conference SWAC games. But, man, those non-conference schedules of those outside of the SWAC HBCU teams, man, are typically tough.
Yeah, very. And I think that's something that, you know, is the big thing. I don't think people would make as big of a deal about the SWAC on the conference schedule is if the SWAC won those chances they had. Does that make sense, Terry?
So yeah, it makes total sense. It's the respect factor, because I always say, right, I understand when the Southern and Alabama A&M play, Alabama State and UAPB play, right? We've seen those battles more and more, the wins, the losses. But, hey, what riles me up is Southern goes out and beats the Nichols, who you just said is the best FCS program team in the state of Louisiana, will probably be a top 25-ranked team coming into Baton Rouge. How do you defend your home turf and then get that victory over a team who everybody thinks is going to beat you in the first place?
Exactly. I mean, think about this, because Campbell wasn't even ranked. How big of a win was that for Jackson?
Huge.
At home over Campbell. That's a massive win. Also, think about how bad McNeese was the past 2 years. When Alcorn beat them, that was an amazing win for the SWAC, because they've never beaten McNeese before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the big thing, is when you look at the MEAC, I mean, North Carolina Central has beaten a ranked New Hampshire team, an Elon team that ended up finishing in the top 25. Morgan beats Richmond. Howard's competed out of conference well. South Carolina State's done okay out of conference. But, I mean, I think Central and Morgan, they got a chance to make some waves, man. I think Central this year has the best chance to make a run to the playoffs if they don't win the MEAC again, because they have that game against Elon. They have that game even against an Alabama State in the Orange Blossom Classic. And they got a game against Campbell next year. So they got some CAA matchups that is super interesting. I just think for the SWAC, the key is winning those games. I think TV has the best chance to kind of put on for the SWAC next year. Also Southern with Nichols and McNeese. But, man, if PV can knock off like an Incarnate Word next year or something like that, that would be a signature win for the SWAC out of conference. And it would help go a long way with establishing the SWAC's respect in the top 25, because if you don't play a lot of out-of-conference games, voters are going to be skeptical. And if you lose the few games you do play out-of-conference, the voters are going to be very unlikely to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Blue, tell the people where they can find you, man, and keep up with you.
Man, you can find me writing on FCS Football Central on SI. You can find me on the Blue Bloods on YouTube, all podcast streaming platforms, social media at the _ Blue Bloods, and then just at Zach McKinnell, man. Perry, always great to chop it up about FCS football, HBCU football, man, and I'm looking forward to hopping back on here, man, whenever you invite me.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, because, you know, I try to give people the landscape, man. As much as I love HBCU football between the SWAC and the MEAC, man, I pay attention to all of these other conferences, right? I'm looking at what a University of Central Arkansas is doing. I'm watching what a Southern Illinois is doing, Youngstown State, Sacramento State, right? Incarnate Word. Who Cameron Ward, if a lot of people don't know, who's down over in Florida now, quarterback, and was up at Washington State. He started right there in the FCS level at Incarnate Word. But, you know, just looking around at all of these landscapes, man, I'm always curious to see what is happening on the FCS level, man. And that's why I enjoy having this conversation with you. And better believe I have you back, and we'll talk more about this to give people some insight about the landscape of FCS as a whole.
Absolutely, Perry, man. Y'all have a great one, man.
All right, man. Thank you, Blue. All right, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side. We're going to talk some Southern. I know that's what y'all was waiting on. I stalled y'all out, but we're going to talk Southern. My boy Kevin Baptiste from WAFB coming over to talk to us about Southern University and how fall camp is going. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.
It's On the Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White. And what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
For the first time in the 79-year history of the Southwestern Athletic Conference Elite Championship game determines the overall champion. Today, live from Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, it's the champions of the East, Jackson State, taking on Southern, the champs from the West. Hello, everybody. George Johnson along with Charles Mann. And I got to tell you, Greg Bolt once said this is the way it's supposed to be. And it is. Number 11 Southern taking on number 15 Jackson State. Both programs have won 3 SWAC titles in a decade. So it's only fitting in the first SWAC championship game, we determine the program of the decade. We've got a lot of offense out on the field. And yet this guy right here, he's going to tell you this game's all about D. It's always D.
board. You know that.
Yeah, an all-pro defensive end is going to tell you that. When you think about Jackson State, this is a team that is very potent offensively. But defensively, they fed the SWAC throughout most of the year. And they've got the best player in defense in the SWAC, and that's Tommy Head.
Tommy Head. Get used to saying that name. You'll say it all day. He'll be all over the field. He's always around the football. He's the leading tackler on this team. He also has 5.5 sacks.
At one point this year, Southern led the nation in scoring defense. Then they ran into Florida A&M. They got a lot of guys out there that can get it done. But at the top of the list is DeMarcus Miller.
DeMarcus Miller, the linebacker coach, Terrence Graves, told me there's one word to describe this kid, and that is relentless. He's only 5'10", 285 pounds. He makes a lot of plays, though.
Relentless, appropriate word for our third member of the broadcast team, and that's Joe Clair, who's standing by down on the sideline. Joe?
Yes, indeed. I'm down here on the field capturing all the pageantry and revelry that is black college football. Birmingham, Alabama is a lovely city. This is the inaugural SWAC championship in their city, so they came out to have a good time. I will be covering the bands, the cheerleaders, shout-outs, all that kind of stuff. Back to you guys at the top.
All right, thank you very much, Joe. You know, earlier this year, Southern beat Jackson State, a fourth straight win over the Tigers. But what's most impressive about Southern, they haven't lost a conference game in 25 outings. They put it on the line against Jackson State.
We look at the starting lineups brought to you by Western Union Money Transfer, the fastest way to send money worldwide. We saw the backs. Here's your offensive line. Damon Nivens is a first-team all-SWAC member. Defensively, there's your starting lineups for Jackson State's defense. Chandler, Tommy Head, Edward Reese, pretty good middle linebacker. Rashard Anderson is a professional prospect. And they say he will be in the NFL next year. There's your starting lineup. Brought to you by Western Union. Mark Washington is your quarterback. Destry Wright, the all-time leading rusher in school history, is the tailback. Jeremiah G. Thomas.
All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there. Hope you guys are enjoying the show this morning. Good to have you with us, everybody in the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Listen on Talk 107.3. Good to have you with us. Our affiliates up in Alexandria, New Orleans, and all the way around. Even if you're watching just simply on our YouTube and Facebook, guess what? We appreciate it. And go hit that subscribe button right on our YouTube channel and hit that follow button on our Facebook. We would love to have you keep up with us, get a live notification every time we're on, and as well as go back any archive of any of our previous content and videos so you can go back. I know a lot of times we're up early. People say, man, I just got in at 8:30. Did they speak about it? Yes, we did. You just missed it, but it's okay because you can go back and rewatch it and share it and everything else. So thank Blue coming on this morning, Senator Cleo Fields talking to us about politics. And now we got a very special guest here in the studio because if you're in Baton Rouge and you watch sports, you have seen this guy's face all over your television because guess what? You watch the news and he is Kevin Baptiste from WAFB. Good morning.
Good morning, Perry.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. You mentioned the 8:30 thing. I'll let you know I'm not much of a morning person.
Well, I'm glad to have you with you, because you're on the back end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't really get going until about 2 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And me waking up at 8:30 is one thing, but on a Saturday, that's another. But for you.
You know what? I appreciate for you, that, brother.
For you, and to talk Southern University and football, like, I can make this happen.
You know, and I get this from everybody because Senator Fields came in like, hey, where the coffee at? And I'm like, you know, hey, we just got energy in the morning. You got to have that energy bright and early on a Saturday. But I appreciate you coming in. And then we talked about it. It's your first time on the journal. I don't even know how this has not happened. But guess what? It's happening. And I'm glad to have you on. And let's talk about Southern University, right? Southern University fall football camp is underway. They're heading into week 2 coming up this week. And for you, you were there day one when Coach Terrence Graves came out and spoke with the media. What did you get from Coach Graves in his first fall practice?
Well, the first thing that Coach Graves really said he wanted to hit on with this team is obviously the discipline, the aspect last year. You know, Southern had a lot of pre-snap penalties, a lot of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. So really, you know, discipline was really the first thing they really wanted to hit on. And then, you know, the usual coach talk, which is, you know, execution, being mm-hmm. able to retain the information, not just from the summer, but from the previous spring, and having to really pick up what he left off in this fall camp. And so after about the first couple of practices, we asked him, we were like, Coach, I mean, have the guys been doing it? Have there been any drop-off from that spring? He says, no, not at all. I mean, guys have really, you know, picked up what he left off in the spring game. Really, it's all about trying to get those newcomers, those guys they didn't have in the summer, mm-hmm. Those JUCO guys, those transfers, getting them up to speed, and seeing how they progress.
Let's look at this program, right? I often have conversations with Jim Kleinpeter of The Advocate about his perspective on Southern. But you and I often talk, you know, when we're at the press conferences and at practice and whatever else. From your opinion, when you circle spots, right, let's circle a spot offense and defense. Crucial areas that you see for most improvement, one spot offensively and defensively.
Well, offensively, the most obvious, the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been the issue for the last, I want to say, since Austin Howard left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been really no consistency at the quarterback position for Southern. Going back to Ladarius Skelton, Bubba McDaniel, John Lampley, Deshaun McCray, Harold Blood, the list goes on and on. And I feel like Southern's had a hard time really trying to figure out who they really want to be mm-hmm. in these last 3 years. So, obviously, you know, quarterback going into this season, there's a four-way competition between Noah Bowden, Zay Tissett, Jalen Woods, and they brought in Angelo Izard from Tuskegee to duke it out. And, you know, I've been trying to get Coach Graves to budge.
No, like, Coach, no, you know.
I've been trying. I even tried again yesterday because, you know, today they're having a closed scrimmage.
Uh-huh.
And for the longest, Graves and Coach Frederick, Mark Frederick, the OC, they've been saying, yeah, we hope to have a decision after the second scrimmage next week. But I tried to get him the buzz yesterday. I was like, Coach, will y'all at least have a front runner after today's scrimmage? He just swiftly said, nope.
You bet, man. You've been around this profession long enough to know you're not going to know until leading right up.
I know, but you still got to try. You still have to try.
That was like when GM Kleinpeter one time was trying to get those that injury out of Coach Dooley. You remember that?
Hey,
was you there that day?
Absolutely. That was one of the greatest and humorous days of the Tuesday presser.
Yeah, don't ask me another question
Ask me about no injuries. Yeah. And then you had Dooley storming out of the presser. I was like, all right.
Yeah, that was like when Webby was in that Breakfast Club interview and said, don't ask me nothing else about no seizures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
gosh.
Okay. All right, let's circle back. Defense, right now, let's circle. You say for you, offense. For Jim, it was the offensive line. For you, it's going to be the quarterback position. Now let's look at the defensive side of the ball. Circle a crucial area that you feel needs the most improvement.
Oh, the back end. The back end. When you lose four starters, you lose Jordan Carter at safety. You lose Chris Davis, who's now in Houston. You lose Dimitri Morsell, Tyler Justin. Four or five starters. I mean, you expect to have some type of drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And Southern was one of the best. That was one of the best units in the SWAC last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they bring back some key contributors. You got Rodney Johnson, who's, I assume, is going to be a starter, one of those corners. You make Horatio Johnson, who saw some time.
And I think they're high on Horatio.
They're very high on Horatio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they said they've been moving him at cornerback and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the other guys who have kind of played some, but they haven't got any real, you know, starting potential, like Luke Rose. I see Marcus Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he's going to step up more at his position on the back end. And when we talked to defensive coordinator Henry Miller, he's like, there's more talent back there. And I find that kind of hard to believe, because when you lose that many people, it's like, man, y'all more talented? But he's like, no, he has more to work with. He has more depth. They bring in a transfer like Xavier Spencer from mm-hmm. Texas San Antonio, who they expect to get in. They brought in a familiar face, Herman Brister
mm-hmm.
from Air Force.
Yep. Southern Lab guy.
So they said they're going to be all right on the back end. I kind of find that hard to believe, but we shall wait and see. But the secondary is my focal point of defense. I think the front seven going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really worried about that. My main thing with the front seven is getting that opposite edge rusher next to Kelby Givens.
Mm-hmm.
Because Givens is going to draw a lot of double teams.
Yeah.
And can Darius Harry, Jelani Davis, can they win their one-on-ones while Givens is getting that much attention?
Yeah. And then you factor in Cotton right there in the mix, too, man. Cotton is a disruptor.
That guy's been there for a minute.
Cotton is a disruptor, man. He is a man amongst boys, and when you see him, he just looks the part. He's every bit of it, and I'm interested because he's been dealing with so many injuries, right? Just unfortunately for him. I'm interested if he can stay healthy, how big of a name could he have this year?
Oh, he could be a huge name. I mean, this is a guy who used to play SEC caliber football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime you get those big guys to come in the SWAC, you obviously expect them to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have somebody like him who has the longevity and the years that he's had playing college football, I mean, he's one of your guys. I mean, outside of Kelby Givens and Derek Williams, because those are your two main guys in the front seven, Kiden is that third leader. So, yeah, if this defensive line wants to really take off, then, yeah, he has to be a big part of that.
Let me circle an area for me that I have had questions as much as we talked about the quarterback position at Southern has been the question mark. For me, it's been wide receiver. Southern has just not, for me, had that standout, as Coach Brown said, that dog. Southern has not quite had a standout receiver to me, just somebody that's a go-getter. When the game, hey, throw the hand up, hey, me. I have not seen that at Southern in some time, since I guess I would say the great Willie Simmons. Willie Quinn.
You mentioned that, but they had those guys the last 2 years. August Pete should have got a lot more productivity than he got.
Mm-hmm.
Cassius Allen, 2 years ago, I feel like he was getting some reps, and then last year he just completely fell off. I don't know if that's his fault, coaching, scheming, whatever, but he just completely fell off, and then they tried to get Jalen Howard mixed in from Prairie View. That didn't really work out a lot. But I feel like Allen and Pete, those were the two guys, big, long, rangy, 6'3", 6'4", guys to go up, win their 50-50 balls, and I feel like they didn't really get the productivity that they deserve. So I feel like they had them, they just didn't really use them. Now, this year, I mean, people are really high on Darren Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Very high on him, another long-rangey guy, one of the best players in the state, right there up the road from Southern Lab. He showed flashes last year in homecoming, and he had a touchdown in the Bayou Classic. I feel like he has high number one potential.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be looking up at Darren Morris this season.
Who else around that wide receiver position for you?
Obviously, Chandler Whitfield. I mean, he is, I would say, the OG of that wide receiver room. Who else was that? I'm very interested to see Quay Davis, the transfer just brought in from Texas Southern.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah,
I know. You got me with that
one. I'm rolling off names. The defensive backside and the D-line.
Yeah.
But when we get to wide receivers,
you're right.
You know, that's why I circled that area, because I get it. People going to say, well, who was throwing it to him? But still, the ball was being thrown.
It was.
Southern didn't complete a pass last year. I saw a lot of drop passes as well. And that has seemed to be something that I think has been just a scar on our wide receivers, or drop passes. And then when you look at the third down conversions last year, Southern did not do well at converting third downs. And a lot of it, too, came to those false start penalties. Oh, my God. It literally killed drives for Southern last year. And while I want to have this conversation before we go to break real quick, your thoughts, and of course, Coach Dooley is no longer here, but just your thoughts and his interaction with the media last year after games and his response to some of those losses, in which you and I look at film and the fans watch the game. I've always wanted to have this conversation with you, but
You really throwing me the lob on this?
This is what we do,
baby. You really throwing me the lob on this?
He ain't around here no more, so you ain't got nothing to worry about. You'll see him at
I didn't have anything to worry about during the season, so. hey, as athletic director Roman Banks mentioned after they let go of Dooley, it all comes down to accountability.
Yeah.
It all comes down to it. If you are the leader of the football team, if you can't step to the podium in front of the cameras and you can't say, hey, guys, I did this, I messed that up, I should have did this, I should have did that.
Him that the infamous question after the SWAC championship, would you have played the other quarterback when Butler came in? Was that you?
That was me.
And he said, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
What was your facial expression at that point?
It was just because you watching it play out. You watching Bubba trying his hardest.
And if we wasn't down by 30 points in the first quarter, we may have had a ball game.
Right. They cut it down to like what, 12?
Yeah, it cut down a lot.
They cut it down to 12, and I'm like, Coach, do you, like, looking back at it, do you regret not starting Bubba in the first place? Absolutely not. I wish, you know, it played out the way we wanted to, so you planned on going down 30 points in the first quarter?
It was embarrassing. Look, I left off the field when it said with the band. I was just like, you know. Hey, you know what? Hey, you know, human jukebox, let's go, baby. Blow some. And I think the other thing was after the FAMU game.
That was the worst one.
Yeah. I think even at that point, I think that's when he started to lose the players, because after that, even with the player interviews after that press conference, you can really see, like, the players took more accountability about what happened in that game than what Coach Dooley did.
As the media, we're not supposed to be, you know, have, you know, feelings or, you know, be biased. But after seeing the players walk off the field after that loss to FAMU, that I kind of fell for them.
Yeah.
Because I know they put – that was a game. They put
– And it was very winnable.
It was very winnable. Probably should have won.
Yeah.
And the what they put into that game and the way that final drive was executed, 2.5 minutes, you got to go 75 yards and you run the ball on the first play. And then you run the ball again 5 plays later. And then you sit down in front of cameras and say, they were dropping back 8. Now, we were all there.
I was there, too.
Yeah, well, you're right. We were all there. This game was on ESPN.
It was definitely televised nationally.
Yeah, we have all 22 vision. I see 6 guys in the box. I see 5 guys going back in coverage. It's like, they drop it back 8 in the coverage, then what are you supposed to do? And then the same thing, just like the SWAC Championship, I asked them, Coach, we're looking back at it. You wish you would have did something different? Absolutely not. You throw an interception, then you don't have that opportunity. Well, Coach, this is 2 minutes. We're here.
And that started to
– We're here.
That, for me, and we're going to get ready to take a break, I think that's what really started to hurt the fan base because it was like you're playing in my face. We're watching the news. We're watching the games. And then you telling me, well, you have to know football in order to understand why I made the decision. And you started to make me feel like because I'm a fan, I'm dumb. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on. And when you paint that picture and you start to force people to want to think that, it's like you're force feeding me to say, what you saw wasn't right. That ain't what you saw. Let me tell you what you saw. And it's like, no, bruh. If it was blue, I saw blue. You can't tell me it was red. No matter how many ways you try to put it, I know what I saw. I saw blue, and I think, unfortunately, that started to kill the fan base. Terrence Graves is now going to have to win that fan base that started to, you know, I don't know. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing for Terrence Graves. But guess what? As a coach, the only way to make that happen is win. And I think that first game against McNeese, that is a statement game. I have continuously said, and that's why I was talking to Zach about this, we get the games against the SWAC opponents, right? We play them. We've been playing them every year for 50, 60, 100 years. When you go out and get those non-conference games, especially against in-state opponents on your level, FCS, that's your brand. That motivates people when you say, because one thing I will say this, and we are going to go to break. As much as I don't like to mention LSU on here, one thing I have always admired about LSU football, no matter what nobody says, when they go out and play national brands, non-conference, that's how you grow when you go get those victories. That brings in a whole new fan base. That brings in new eyes, and it raises questions. Look at this program continues rise. Now, do they win the SEC every year? No, they don't. Are they a national champion team every year? No, they're not. But if you go get those non-conference victories and you get them early, that riles up a fan base. And for Southern, you have to rile up the fan base early because it doesn't take much for the fans to be like, you know what, I'll wait to the Bayou Classic or I'll wait to homecoming. You want to keep fans engaged and keep them going and keep them feeling like every game is an opportunity instead of, oh, that's just Savannah State. I ain't worried about it. No, you want to be there because you saw we beat McNeese the week before. Oh, man, they ought to show out this week. And keep that going all the way through Nicholls, especially when you get a non-conference team like Nicholls who's going to most likely be a top 25 team. Been a while since we had a nationally ranked top 25 FCS program coming into Baton Rouge. You want to create that environment that's going to make it hard for them because you better believe when you go down to Nicholls, when we go to Thibodeau, they're going to make it hard for us. So you have to create those environments, and especially as you lead up. It doesn't have to just be the big games, but as the fan base. But simply how you do that is win games, and I think that's going to be the biggest thing for Coach Terrence Graves. But for a lot of people, you know, we don't have that time to waste no more where you say we're building a program. We're in this microwave society now. Everybody it's like the commercial. Right. It's my money, and I want it now.
Right.
So let's get ready to take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Kevin and I are going to close this thing out, all right?
watching the Southern University Human Jukebox. Click here to watch more videos. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Good to have you guys with us. Hope you guys enjoying the show. Kevin Baptiste here in the show. Mike, get on the mic. Mike, get on the mic. How about that? Okay, he want to be seen. Come on. Get on here. You tell the people what's going on.
Okay. This is my, second or third time on the mic. If you guys haven't met me yet, my name is Michael Patel. I'm the producer for the show. This is my third-year anniversary on the show. It's the second... It's the second show of August, so if you guys remember for me, usually I'll remember. This will be my fourth football season for you guys, too. And I was trying to think of a joke, but the only thing I can think of is I know Dooley wasn't that good for Southern. But
that's the joke, man.
But I started when he was the coach, so I think I was the best thing that came out the Dooley era.
Oh, okay. I heard that, right? You all heard that?
I heard that.
You see that?
I heard that.
See, he missed the whole Odom's era, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But congratulations, Mike, man. Listen. Matt, listen. I am glad to have Mike here because with the vision that we wanted with the show, Mike has really done a lot to help us. Just not help, has done a lot to actually make it come into fruition. And because of that, Mike, man, I love you. I thank you, man. Appreciate you, man. Listen. This wouldn't be nearly as successful as it is because we've had many producers over the years, and a lot of them just simply did not care about the show. The Jaguar Journal was just like something like, oh, I got to go do the Jaguar Journal because we ain't talking LSU like everybody else, right? It was like Southern, I don't care. But Mike took a liking to it, and then I brought him to Southern. He went to a tailgate, and he's been family ever since.
That's how everybody get hooked in. Once they go to a tailgate, they see them boilers, that grill.
Yeah. Mike told me that one time we were eating brim. I was at a tailgate. Mike was like, I don't eat fish like that. I don't want none of that fish. I said, Mike, slide the meat off the bone onto the bread. If I knew if Mike had a plate full of brim, you would have thought he just brim, crappie, all of that. But nonetheless, man, that's what it's all about, bringing people, get them to understand that, you know, this ain't nothing boring to talk about. There's a love and a passion behind a fan base considered called the Jaguar Nation and Southern alums all across the world that not only listen to this show, but show up to games and watch you each and every night because they want to get that, as they say, feed their appetite on what's going on over on the Bluff. And because of that, man, I appreciate you and all that you do in covering Southern and putting it out there. Problem. Because there's a lot of different ways to go, but you make sure you do it. And you got a special coming up.
Yes, sir. It's that time of the year. It's August, the annual WAFB Southern Football Preseason Special. It will air on Thursday, not Saturday like we usually do it. Thursday, August 22nd, 6:30, right after our newscast. We're going to do some features on the coaches, one of the players. Try to do a little talking about what's going on around the SWAC and really set the vibe and the mood for the upcoming season like we usually do.
So you guys be sure to tune in to that. And, Kevin, where can they find you if they want to keep up with you?
Well, obviously on WAFB, on TV. We also stream on the website. And then my social media page is on Twitter/X, Instagram at KBattis Jr. I give you information and with a side of humor that goes with that. So.
And you see, we got a little humor here on the Jaguar Journal, man. You got to have some energy, man. If you ever need somebody to come in and talk with you, talk some Southern football, I have a TV face and a TV voice. I'm always ready.
Absolutely.
All right. Kevin, thank you for coming in this morning, man. I want to thank Senator Cleo Fields coming on, talking some Louisiana and national politics. I hope you guys go back and listen to that. Very informative. Hey, I'm not trying to steer you on who to vote for. I'm just trying to give you an understanding of what's going on out here to vote for, all right? And at the same time, my man Zach, a.k.a. Blue, coming on talking to us about the FCS landscape, particularly here in Louisiana, right? Nichols, McNeese State, both on Southern schedule, giving us a breakdown of those programs and talking about Grambling and talking about Southern. So hope you guys have enjoyed today's show. Go follow the Jaguar Journal on our Facebook page and subscribe to the Jaguar Journal on our YouTube channel. And as always, guys, man, listen, we'll be back at the same time in the same place because always, it's the Jaguar Journal. Have a good week.
K81T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
It's been some time, but we're back.
Young people going to stand up real quick, come on.
Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on, get your bounce on, get your bounce on.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.5.